This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we got some drama possibly here in the Bronx, Red Sox with an 8-5 lead over the Yankees, bottom of the eighth inning. And Aaron Judge, 0-for-3 with three strikeouts in the game against Garrett Crochet, is now up at bat with a runner on first. And pitching for the Red Sox is Justin Wilson. So Judge, some would say he's due. Let's see if he can come through for the Yankees right now. Trailing by three, bottom of the eighth with a runner on first and nobody out. Again, Judge up at the plate. Joining me now on the Progressive Guest Line as we shift gears and get into NBA Finals. Game number two coming up tomorrow. He's Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper over at pregame.com. Mackenzie, after the Indiana Pacers win in historic fashion once again here in the NBA playoffs, how do the Thunder bounce back and avoid digging themselves into an 0-2 hole? The market reacting accordingly. Yep. They were 9.5-point favorites in game number one, now 11-point favorites in game number two. How do they avoid watching what happened in game number one happen to them in game number two?
I think they get back to what they do. I mean, they made so many drastic changes to their starting lineup, their approach. SGA going, you know, one-on-one much more than he's accustomed to. He had 30 shots, 11 in the first quarter, only ended up with three assists. I felt he thought that, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the MVP, you know, could be the first scoring champ since Shaq to win it. Let me just be the alpha and omega. And they changed their starting lineup. This is a team that was 80-18 entering this game. And they were making all the changes that the Pacers were forcing upon them as if the Pacers are some juggernaut. Pacers are a good team. They're not a great team, and they might win the NBA championship being a historically clutch good team, but they're not a great team. The Thunder have a chance to be that not only this year, but in years going forward. I think they get back to the basics, defense first, Thunder basketball.
So you mentioned going back to the basics, maybe going back to a more consistent lineup than what we saw for the entirety of the regular season. Does that mean that we think, does that mean that we get maybe more minutes from a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein? And if that's the case, do we look to attack this from a prop perspective?
I think so. They played one big most of the time. Holmgren played about 20 minutes, had a bad game. Hartenstein played 17 minutes, had a reasonably good game with 9 rebounds and 9 assists. You know, it might be tough for a young guy, a 23-year-old, to hear, hey, you're out of the starting lineup. You're supposed to be a top 20 player in the league. You're supposed to make your first all-time team next year. But if they don't actually sit him to start the game, I think his role is diminished and they play Hartenstein more, the veteran player, because they just need to hit singles. They just need to hit doubles. And all the kind of soft attacks at the basket, the kind of tentative threes that Holmgren was doing when he went 2-for-9, they don't need that. They need a more consistent play. I think Hartenstein, his prop was 16.5 in game one. It's the same for points, rebounds, and assists in game two. He went over despite coming off the bench. I think he goes over again, which is a departure from what I thought. I thought they were going to play one big and that was going to be Holmgren. Now I think they play one big and they lean towards more towards Hartenstein.
I like that a lot. And you mentioned he went over in game number one with the 9 points and 9 rebounds. So I like that here for game number two because I agree. I do think we get more minutes out of Hartenstein here in game number two. I also think one of the things that we're going to see be a little bit different here in game number two as opposed to game number one is I expect Shea to get to the free throw line much more than he did in game number one, whether that's because he's going to be more aggressive or because the officials might be calling it a certain way. He only took 8 free throws in game number one. I expect that number to be almost doubled in game number two. If that's the case, is there a way to attack a Shea prop? I mean, we could just say go over points. I mean, it's going to go over it anyway. But do we think that he continues to have, you know, maybe play an alternate total on the points prop for Shea, thinking that he gets to the free throw line more?
Well, it's 34.5, which is an absurd number for any player heading into any game, let alone a finals game. But hey, he scored 38 in game one on an inefficient shooting day. So I probably lean towards his over points. But I think it's more representative of what's going to happen the entire game, which I think makes it the best thing to get at it is over 228.5 the total, because I'm very accustomed to betting unders in finals games because of the pressure, the pace slows down and it's more half court basketball. We saw a pace of 103 between the teams which was 3 points higher than they've averaged in the regular season and the playoffs. I think as the Thunder adjust to what the Pacers want to do and their style of basketball, I think they were perfectly happy to run with them. I think that continues. And what you're talking about, I think, is very, very telling. They only had 20 free throws, the Thunder did, as a team. Mm. I thought the narrative of Shea's a free throw merchant. Hey, for anyone that hasn't seen any basketball, we're not going to let that dominate the game one headlines. They let a lot play. They had some continuations called as fouls on the ground, which were like false. It wasn't even like a judgment. It was like, we're going to make a bad call here because no one wants to see more free throws. And I think that's going to reverse itself. So I think the pace is as high as it's been for either of these teams in any series. And I think the free throws go from about 20 a team to about 30 a team. Both the teams looked a little nervous, kind of missing a lot of empty, easy shots in the first game. I think all three of those things point to an over in game two.
That's a great point. We get points with no time on the clock, no time coming off the clock. That's going to lend itself towards the over. So if you do think we get more free throws, yes, the over, it seems like a good play at 228.5. Talking to NBA handicapper Mackenzie Rivers from pregame.com. He's joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Sadenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN as we're taking a look at tomorrow's game number two of the NBA Finals. Mac, something that you and I have talked about a lot throughout this postseason has been when the home teams lose game number one, how to attack them in game number two. And it is shown that they dominate the first quarter, specifically on the defensive end, where the teams that win game one on the road are only averaging 17 points per first quarter in game number two. You mentioned it earlier. You think that the Thunder have a better defensive effort here in game number two. Does that lend itself towards the trend that we've been attacking here? And do we hammer Pacers team total under in the first quarter?
Yes, if you have that at your book, the good point folks at Circa, I believe, offer that. It's kind of a niche bet. You can just bet first quarter under or Thunder first quarter, and you're going to get to the same window and cash the same ticket. I do think all three of those come in. But yeah, if you want to isolate what we've seen throughout the playoffs for both of these teams, the Pacers have had some miracle wins. They came back in New York game two, scored 24 points, went under their total. The Thunder have somehow, even with their historic 11 points net rating, have had some terrible losses in these playoffs, including game one of the Nuggets. The next game, they won by 40, and it started early, and it started on the defensive end. I think it's just human nature to take a deep breath and say, all right, we're probably not going to beat the Thunder four in a row. Even if you can rile yourself up, you can slap each other heading into the hallway. I just think the Pacers are going to be a little less chomping at the bit than this Thunder team, and we've seen it before. There's so many different comps that come to mind. Allen Iverson hits a miracle game-winning shot in the Lakers, biggest upset in Finals history. They lose the next four games. Michael Jordan in his first Finals missed a shot, much like Shea, that could have won it, could have iced it for the Bulls. And they lose their next four games. I think the conversation around this series is going to be a lot different, and it's going to start early with the Thunder. Hey, we know we've been here before. We've dropped a game that we shouldn't have lost against the Nuggets, and now we're just going to exert our team performance, which is just a lot better, a higher level. If we play a B, a 9 out of 10, an 8 out of 10, we know we should be able to win this championship.
So would it surprise you, or you're saying it wouldn't surprise you, if the Thunder win the next four games?
It would not shock me. And I'll tell you, the odds, if you're just agnostic to the talking heads and the Stephen A. Smiths and the Bill Simmons, and you're just looking at the odds, you're like, all right, they're 11-point favorites in game two. Last time they were an 11-point favorite, they were a 5.5-point favorite the next game at Denver. So they're going to win that 60, 70% of the time. More likely than not, they're going to be up 2-1. And then, 3-1 and 4-1 come after that, especially if they're up 3-1. So, yes, I would say it's not outside the realm of possibility. I'm going to lose my sweet bet, I think. But I think Thunder in five is still very viable.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sweep unless the series starts now in game number two. I think they do sweep. I like that, though. And I think that, if we're looking at a series market here, a series spread, or even total games, you can get plus 210 right now on the series to go under 5.5 games. Now, I'm always going to listen. We always have to do the math on this because you can just do money line game two Thunder, money line game three Thunder, money, and keep going so on and so forth. You're probably going to add up to better than plus 210. But it's just interesting that the market just automatically assumes that because the Pacers won a game, that this is going to be a six game series, which I still don't think that's the case.
No, they were going to have to pull out a miracle rabbit out of their hat in one of these games, and it was game one. That doesn't necessarily tell me that they're going to have a huge home court advantage, but they're not necessarily going to be favored or close to it in their two home games. And the market already loves the bounce back for Thunder in game two. I wish you could isolate just the Thunder in five games. I've said this before, but what if the Pacers sweep? Then I'm really going to be surprised. But that technically falls under the purview of under 5.5 games. But I think maybe what is, you know,
plus
maybe
three,
one way to look
plus
at it is
plus 310 right now, Thunder to win 4-1.
Exactly. Perfect. So instead of betting plus 210, you get plus 310. Yep. To me, it's the same bet because the Thunder are not going to lose 4 games in a row.
Great
so
point.
So you're getting that value. I also think Thunder minus 1.5 games, it was minus 270. And now it's looking
even
more
money.
Reasonable at even money. I think that's more likely than not that it doesn't go seven. So, yeah, I would like the Thunder minus 1.5 games to get there.
That's a lot better than laying minus 300 on the Thunder to win the series right now. Good stuff, McKenzie. He's McKenzie Rivers. Check him out on Twitter at Mackin Rivers, NBA handicapper at pregame.com. Appreciate the time, Mac. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, man. See you later.
Yeah, there he is. McKenzie Rivers joining me. And look, there's different ways. If you think the Thunder go on and win this series, yeah, minus 1.5, even money. They're minus 300 to win the series. I'm actually going to do some math here to see if that plus 310 on the Thunder to win 4-1 is good value. We'll tell you about that, plus update you on what's going on in Major League Baseball. Coming up next, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we got a little bit of a turn of events that is occurring in Major League Baseball right now. The Yankees scoring some runs in the bottom of the eighth inning off the Red Sox bullpen, trail 8-7 now in the top of the ninth inning as Ian Hamilton is in to pitch for the Yankees to see if they can keep this at an 8-7 game, give the Yankees a chance to score and either tie the game or walk it off in the bottom of the ninth. Meanwhile, top of the ninth inning, the Padres now trailing the Brewers 3-1 as Milwaukee's scoring two runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. This was a 1-1 game. This was a 1-0 Padres lead going to the seventh inning. Then Padres tied it up in the seventh, and then the Brewers tied it up in the seventh, and Brewers scored two runs in the bottom of the eighth inning as it was, let's see, Estrada and then Adam gave up two runs. And man, this Padres bullpen, what has been going on with this Padres bullpen, which at the beginning of the season was so good and now is just completely falling off. Their numbers overall are still decent. So when you look overall, it's like, all right, this is still a top five bullpen in terms of ERA on the season. But lately, it has not been the case as it has been bad for the Padres bullpen as Jason Adam gives up two runs there. And now Padres trailing with one out in the top of the ninth inning. So Brewers looking to close this one out as it is the bottom of the Padres lineup up against Trevor McGill looking to close it out for Milwaukee. Elsewhere, the Mariners with a 4-2 lead over the Angels in the bottom of the second inning. So lots of runs already here in Anaheim between the Mariners and the Angels. 4-2 going to the top of the third there between the Mariners and the Angels. Top of the third inning, the Mets with a 1-0 lead over the Rockies thanks to a, Ronnie Mauricio has just homered. A solo home run for Ronnie Mauricio has given the Mets a 1-0 lead over the Rockies. And cash your Yurfies in Sacramento as the Orioles have a 1-0 lead over the A's going to the bottom of the first inning. It was a Ryan O'Hearn sacrifice fly scoring the first runner of the game. And so cash your Yurfie, your yes run first inning, as the O's take a 1-0 lead over the A's. And what do you know? Jacob Wilson doubles to lead off the bottom of the first for Lawrence Butler doubled to lead off the bottom of the first as we are on our way. We love the over in this one like we do in every game. being played there in Sacramento. Let's keep an eye on what's going on, though, in some of these late games. The ninth inning underway. The Red Sox do have a runner on in the ninth as the Yankees looking to keep it as an 8-7 game. Right now, the Red Sox minus 1120 on the live line. As looks like back-to-back hits for the Red Sox. So the Red Sox have first and second, which is why that money line is so high, but with and nobody out also. So first and second with nobody out in the top of the ninth inning for the Red Sox. Yankees, you can get them at plus 583 right now. Is it good value? Listen, if they can get out of this with no runs scored, you got the Yankees at a plus 600 price, down one in the bottom of the ninth inning. Yeah, I mean, it could happen, but they have to get out of this first. Your live total right now is 16.5, and so think about that. If the Yankees do come back to win 9-8, that'll get you 17 runs, but 16.5 right now, 8-7 Red Sox lead with two runners on here in the top of the ninth. Padres, meanwhile, do have a runner on with two outs as well, with two outs. So a runner on first, Xander Bogaerts is up. With two outs and the runner on first, Brewers leading 3-1 as they look to close it out there in Milwaukee. We talked with Mackenzie Rivers last segment about the NBA Finals, game number two, coming up tomorrow. And I'll reiterate my best bet. Something that we talked about with Mackenzie is the first quarter. I think that's the best way to attack this game. I've talked about it ad nauseum now. The trends all point to the Thunder dominating early in this game. I'll repeat for those who weren't listening earlier, and I'm going to continue to repeat this as we get closer and closer to tomorrow night's game. In this postseason alone, when the home team loses game one, they have bounced back in game number two to dominate the first quarter, outscoring the opponents 31-17. We've had seven games already in this postseason where that's happened. And the road team coming off the game one upset win, only scoring 17 points in the first quarter of game number two. In fact, the Pacers were that team twice in these playoffs. They won game number one against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. And in game number two, they were losing 30-15 in the first quarter. They only scored 15 points in the first quarter of that game. Now, the rest of the game, we can talk about how, you know, the Pacers do what the Pacers do, and they come back all the time. But in the first quarter, down, 32-15. Then they win game number one against the Knicks. We historic, come from behind fashion, much like this game number one against the Thunder. And in game number two, they did score 24 points in the first quarter, but they lost that first quarter, 26-24. And so they lose the first quarter again, and they go under their team total in the first quarter, which was 25.5 then. So two games for the Pacers, both series, they win game one on the road. In game number two, outscored in the first quarter and go under their team total in the first quarter. And then for the Thunder, they lose game one at home against the Denver Nuggets, and in game number two bounce back to blow out Denver 45-21 in the first quarter. Just an absolute embarrassment. And what we see, despite the 21 points scored by the Nuggets in that game number two, despite the 24 scored by the Pacers in the game against the Knicks, 17 points on average these teams are scoring. If we go back several seasons, go back to the 2021 playoffs, the teams that win game number one on the road in game number two are only averaging 23 points in the first quarter. They're being outscored 29-23. Thunder first quarter is the way to attack this game. If you don't feel comfortable laying the 4.5 points in the first quarter, look towards the Pacers team total to go under. Right now listed at 25.5. Go under the Pacers team total in the first quarter of game number two. That's how I will be attacking this game. I do like the Thunder to get out to a big lead. So I would lay the 4.5. But I'm specifically going to be fading the Pacers. And that's why I'm going under their team total of 25.5. Check your book, see what they offer. Thunder dominating the first quarter is the way that I am going to get at this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live as we're keeping an eye on what's going on here in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox are about to pile on here against the Yankees as Ian Hamilton unable to hold this as an 8-7 lead. The Red Sox loading the bases with nobody out and have just scored two runs on a single. It is now 10-7 Red Sox over the Yankees. So Ian Hamilton in to pitch, and he walks Narvaez, then he gives up a single to Mayer, a single to Toro, and a single to Trevor Story, as the Red Sox have now expanded their lead to 10-7 over the Yankees with nobody out still in the top of the ninth inning. And meanwhile, on the other game that we're tracking right now, the Padres and the Brewers. How about the Padres scoring two runs now with two outs in the top of the ninth inning? They have tied the game at 3. Wow, what a turn of events. So the Padres, to start the ninth inning, Cronenworth flies out to center. Diaz then singles before Wade grounds into a fielder's choice. Xander Bogaerts walked, so you had first and second. Oh, actually, then Bogaerts stole second and Wade stole third. So second and third with two outs. Down 3-1, Luis Arraez doubles, and now it is a 3-3 ball game with two outs, top of the ninth, Luis Arraez on second base for the Padres. What a turn of events in both of these games. My goodness, things change just like that. And the NBA Finals are here. The Stanley Cup Final is here. ProfitX, our partner, is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., which means you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sports books, and exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. We'll tell you what's going on the rest of the Major League Baseball scoreboard and UFC 316 main card underway. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here on Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. It is a final in Milwaukee as it is a walk-off home run by Caleb Durbin to, I think it was to lead off the bottom of the ninth inning. And, I mean, it seemed very, very quickly that that occurred as it was the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth. My goodness. So the Padres down three. The Padres, let's just talk about this game for a second. The Padres up 1-0 in the seventh inning. Great start by Steven Kolek. They give up the lead. It's a 1-1 game. Brewers score two runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to take a 3-1 lead. Padres with two outs in the top of the ninth get a Luis Arraez double to tie the game at 3. And then the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth inning is a solo home run walk-off winner for the Brewers, 4-3 over the Padres. So comeback effort, all for naught. Meanwhile, the Yankee comeback effort about to be all for naught. Jazz Chisholm strikes out to lead off the bottom of the ninth against Aroldis Chapman, former Yankee closer, in for the save here for the Red Sox. Boston took an 8-7 lead into the top of the ninth inning and then added two runs of insurance. And that's where we have this 10-7 ball game right now with the Red Sox leading the Yankees as this was actually an 8-2, the Red Sox had an 8-3 lead at one point in this game. The Yankees scored a couple of runs in the bottom of the fourth inning to make an 8-3 game, an 8-5 game. And then in the bottom of the eighth, DJ LeMahieu singled in two runs to make it 8-7.
and now the Trevor Story two-run single after the Red Sox loaded the bases against Ian Hamilton with nobody out in the top of the ninth made it a 10-7 game, and that's where we sit. And looking at the way these Yankees are swinging against Aroldis Chapman, that's probably going to be the way this game finishes, is 10-7, unless, looks like, let's see here. Ground ball, going to be a ground out. So, yep, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning, 10-7 Red Sox leading the Yankees. Elsewhere, Mariners with a 4-2 lead over the Angels in the bottom of the third inning. The Mets with a 1-0 lead over the Rockies in the top of the fourth inning. And they're still in the first inning in Sacramento. That's right. Now we're finally out of the first inning. But the Orioles, the A's had the bases loaded, already three runs in the bottom of the first. They have a 3-1 lead over the Orioles as the, they finally get out of the first inning. They, the Baltimore Orioles, and Charlie Morton finally get out. Lawrence Butler led off the bottom of the first with a double. Jacob Wilson then singled, scoring in Butler. Brent Rooker then singled. Soderstrom walks. Brown strikes out. McIver singles. Blade walks, scoring a run, and then strikeout, and I didn't see what Schumann did, but there was one out, bases loaded, and then two outs, and now three outs, as the A's will take that 3-1 lead going to the top of the second inning. To recap some of the bets that we have here, our very own Adam Burke gave us the Orioles team total over 2.5 runs in the first five innings. So they already have one run, so we would certainly like them to score. It's only the second inning, so we got plenty of time left. But as they say, it's getting late early in Colorado. Have that first five over in the Mets and the Rockies. The only run right now is coming from that Ronnie Mauricio solo home run. So 1-0 Mets lead the Rockies in the top of the fourth inning. It is a ball game in the Bronx, as Aroldis Chapman goes 1-2-3, gets the save in the bottom of the ninth. Red Sox win 10-7 over the Yankees. And for those of us that had Yankees plus a run and a half, bad beat, as the Yankees give up two runs in the top of the ninth inning, unable to give themselves a fighting chance there in the bottom of the ninth. Ooh, Chapman, a little awkward play there, as Chapman was covering first and I guess stumbled and fell to the ground. He appears to be okay. He's laughing it off, but that's the last thing the Red Sox need is another injury. Boston with a big win, still 30-35 on the year. It's been a subpar year for the Boston Red Sox, and they're a team that I was high on before the season started. I have a bet on the Red Sox to win, not win the division, but to make the playoffs. But looking at them as presently constituted, with the Alex Bregman injury, and I know that they did get some positive news as Bregman could be coming back, it's still a fade candidate for me moving forward, because I have not liked what I've seen from this Boston Red Sox team. And if you look at the remaining strength of schedule, I believe the Boston Red Sox have one of the most difficult strength of schedules remaining in baseball, and they do. Third most difficult remaining strength of schedule in baseball. So we talked earlier about how we wanted to fade the Arizona Diamondbacks on the adjusted season win total. Maybe fading the Boston Red Sox could be the way to go as well. And it is a tough schedule here, not just for the rest of the season, but in the immediate future, it is a tough schedule for the Red Sox. But a big win here as they do get the insurance runs in the top of the ninth inning. Not sure how this game would have played out if it was 8-7 going to the bottom of the ninth. A little more pressure on Aroldis Chapman there in the ninth inning, but up three runs, loosey-goosey, and he gets the Yankees to go 1-2-3 there in the bottom of the ninth inning. The score has changed in the A's game. It is 4-1 A's over the Orioles. So I'm wondering, it was 3-1 and I saw it was the end of the inning. I'm wondering if there was a review or something that occurred there in the fourth inning. Possibly, because it says that Schumann reached on an infield single. So I don't know what happened there, because it originally said that the inning was over and it was 3-1. But now it says 4-1 A's finally going to the top of the second inning there in Sacramento. All nine batters batted for the A's in that first inning. They will lead off the second inning with the top of the order. They batted around in the bottom of the first against Charlie Morton. Live line right now is the A's -310. Your live total, 14.5. This was a total of 10.5 before the game started. Your live total is at 14.5. Live totals in the other two games that are in progress, 12.5 between the Mariners and the Angels. It is 4-2 Mariners in the third inning. And the live total of Mets and Rockies is at 7.5, with New York having that 1-0 lead in the fourth inning. Wanted to transition and get back into the Stanley Cup final, as we saw a ridiculous game number two play out last night on Friday night. And this is how the series is going to be. I don't think that we're going to get overtime in every single game, but this is an extremely even series. And the market told us that prior to the series beginning, right? Where the Edmonton Oilers were slight favorites in the series because they had home ice advantage. They were -120 to win the series. Well, now, because it was split 1-1 in Edmonton, and Florida technically has home ice advantage now, the Panthers are a -120 home favorite. What's interesting is that the Panthers, and this is something we expected, heavier favorites in game number three, and eventually will be in game number four, than what we saw the Oilers at in games three, in games one and two, I should say. The Oilers were, they opened up at -130, get pushed down to about -115 in some books. Same thing for game number two. They closed little -120, even less in some books. And right now, Panthers, -135, and that's a low price. I've actually seen them upwards of -140, -145 favorites for game number three. And that's what we expected, because the Panthers do have an incredible home ice. They've been great at home, and felt like the market actually did favor the Panthers a bit in this series. Now, not the pricing, but the pricing kind of told me that. Because the only reason why the Oilers were slight favorites was because of the home ice. But after two games, we are even at one apiece. And taking a look now at the Conn Smythe Award market, Connor McDavid, still the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. He is at +105 up on DraftKings. Connor McDavid came into the Stanley Cup final leading the playoffs in points. But second to McDavid in points by one was his teammate Leon Draisaitl. And that was the bet that I made, was Leon Draisaitl at +750. Draisaitl is now down to a +700 favorite. After game number one, where he scored two goals, including the game winner, he shot up to a +450 favorite, now back down to +700 after they lose game number two. But Draisaitl was only 1 point back of McDavid for the most in the playoffs. He is now 2 points back of McDavid, but he's got 10 goals. And he's the favorite to lead the series in goals. But the other player who is scoring just as much as Draisaitl, who leads the postseason in goals, is Sam Bennett. And Sam Bennett right now, you can get Bennett at +600. Before this series, Sam Bennett was 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Let that sink in. 30-1. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to lock in this offer. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Saturday.
Here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we're keeping an eye on everything in progress right now, as the first fight of the main card is concluded. Kevin Holland wins in a submission over Vicente Luque. So Kevin Holland was about a -185 favorite or so. Actually, I think that went down. No, it was about a -185 favorite or so. And I'm curious what the price was on the submission. I'll try to find that one out. But Kevin Holland wins in a decision. Let's see if I can find how much that price was to see who cashed on the Method of Victory prop there.
It was the second round. Wow, second round submission. How about that? Just got him in a little headlock there. So good stuff there from Kevin Holland, winning as the favorite. In the prelims, we had a couple of dogs winning, in fact. We had the first two fights of the prelims were two dogs winning in Andreas Gustafsson over Chaos Williams, and Waldo Cortez Acosta wins over Sergey Spivak, and then the two big heavy favorites, minus 800 or so favorites, win in Mirzakhanov and Joshua Vaughn win as the two heavy favorites to end the prelims. And the first fight of the main card goes the way of the favorite, Kevin Holland, winning by submission over Vicente Luque. Up next is a bantamweight fight between Patchy Mix and Mario Bautista, where Patchy Mix is your betting favorite right now. He is minus 180. Bautista, you can get at plus 150. The over 2.5 rounds is minus 188. After that fight, there will be one more prelim, undercard fight, if you should say, on the main card. Joe Pyfer is a minus 375 favorite over Kelvin Gastelum. And then the two championship fights, Juliana Pena and Kayla Harrison for the women's bantamweight title, where Harrison is a minus 600 favorite. And then it is round number two, the rematch. Merab Dvalishvili against Sugar Sean O'Malley. And Dvalishvili is a minus 265 favorite. Our very own Dave Ross, who joined us earlier here on the program, says he likes both dogs. He thinks both dogs are live in Juliana Pena, the champ, and in Sugar Sean O'Malley. Likes both overs. Thinks both fights can go the distance. Obviously, we're a little nervous about the Pena and Harrison fight because of Kayla Harrison's submission expertise, but tough cut for Kayla to get down to weight. Maybe that comes in and she has a little less stamina later on in the fight. But if Pena can survive the first two rounds, this could be a deep fight. So over 4.5 right now, plus 154 for Pena Harrison, and the over 4.5 for Merab and O'Malley is at minus 245, as we talked about it earlier. Merab is not a big finisher. He doesn't finish many fights. It's likely to go to a decision. He's a ground control guy. But O'Malley could be looking towards a finish, as he might be aggressive here in this fight for sure. Keeping an eye on also what's going on live in Major League Baseball. Checking out the scores in progress. We have the Mariners and Angels now tied at 4. After Seattle took an early lead in this one, 4-0, the Angels have come back with 2 in the bottom of the second, 2 in the bottom of the third. So Angels and Mariners are tied at 4. Mets and Rockies, it was a 1-0 Mets lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Rockies then got a solo home run to tie it at 1-1. The Mets, though, have added a run here off of Herman Marquez in the top of the fifth inning. So a 2-1 Mets lead in the top of the fifth. And we love to see that because we're on the over 5.5 in the first five innings, a bet that our very own Adam Burke gave us earlier on the program. And so we'd love to see the Mets score a couple of more runs here in the fifth inning, as it was Ryan McMahon tied the game with a solo home run in the bottom of the fourth. Then Young homered to make it a 2-1 game. Ronnie Mauricio then singled. Francisco Lindor grounded out, but Brandon Nimmo has just singled, and it is a 3-1 Mets lead now over the Rockies. Also good for Mets, minus a run and a half, as they now lead by 2, and Juan Soto is up against Herman Marquez here. We'll see if they let Marquez face Soto again. It's only the top of the fifth, but let's take a look at how many pitches Marquez has thrown. 62 pitches. He's fine. So Marquez against Soto here with a runner on first and one out. Mets leading 3-1 over the Rockies. And a high-scoring affair in Sacramento, as expected. The A's with a 4-1 lead over the Orioles. Bottom of the second inning, and the A's threatening again against Charlie Morton. They have two runners on with two outs in the second inning. The A's batted around. All nine batters batted in the bottom of the first inning against Charlie Morton. The bet that we have in this one, again, courtesy of our very own Adam Burke, we took the Orioles over 2.5 runs on their team total in the first five innings. So one run through two innings. We're going to need some runs in the third, fourth, or fifth to cash this for the Baltimore Orioles, but only need two runs. That's it. bloop and a blast. And in Sacramento, we know that is absolutely possible with the amount of runs that are scored in that ballpark. I was talking about the Stanley Cup Final and the Conn Smythe odds, the odds to win the Conn Smythe Award, which goes to the MVP of the entire playoffs, not just the MVP of the final. It's for the entire playoffs. And so McDavid is the likely winner. That's why he's the betting favorite. He was the favorite coming into this series. He's still the favorite, even though it's tied at a game apiece. And he leads the postseason in points. It makes sense. And the plays that he's making, the assists that he's racking up, phenomenal. I mean, the moves that he's putting on these guys to get these assists, I mean, it's highlight reel stuff from McDavid every single night. So it makes sense that he is the betting favorite. Plus, we understand the storylines. We've talked about it now so many times with the idea of McDavid joining both Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby, solidifying his legacy. And what do I mean by that? Wayne Gretzky, we're talking about the greatest of all time in Gretzky, and then the next generational talent was Crosby. After that, the next generational talent has been Connor McDavid. Gretzky loses his first trip to the Stanley Cup, wins it the following year in a rematch against the New York Islanders. Crosby loses his first cup and then wins it the following year in a rematch against the Detroit Red Wings. And Connor McDavid has the opportunity, losing his first cup last year, to then win it in a rematch here against the Florida Panthers. You can't script this stuff. So I get the narrative. I get the storyline. It's all beautiful there for Connor McDavid. But to me, Leon Draisaitl is still the guy to bet for the Edmonton Oilers. Because he's the betting favorite to lead the series in goals, and because he already has 3 goals in this series, including the game winner in overtime in game number 1. He's got the most goals of the Edmonton Oilers in this postseason. He'd be the guy to bet. Sam Bennett, who was 30-1 before this series to win the Conn Smythe, is now your third favorite at plus 600 because he's got 3 goals here in this series, much like Draisaitl does. And now he leads all skaters with 13 goals in the postseason. I think it's going to be fun to watch Bennett and Draisaitl compete for the remainder of this series to see who leads the postseason in goals. Sasha Barkov is next at plus 1,500. And how about Brad Marchand, who was the hero of game number 2 for the Florida Panthers, 1 point north of 50-1 to win the Conn Smythe at 30-1 right now. What's crazy is Sergei Bobrovsky is still plus 300 as the second favorite behind Connor McDavid, but I don't see that happening anymore. Because of how many goals have been scored in the first 2 games, I just don't like Bobrovsky unless, and this is very likely to happen actually, if Bob is dominant in games 3 and 4, or maybe just one of these games, and he's the reason why Florida wins, and he shuts down this Edmonton offense in game 3 and game 4 on home ice, and we know he's capable of doing that. He's got 3 shutouts already in this postseason. Sergei Bobrovsky could actually get back into this race, and I'm not back in. He's the second favorite right now, but he could be the guy. Ultimately, for me, the value is on Edmonton in both of these games. Because this series is so close, because these teams are so close, take the plus money where you can get it. And so the plus money on Edmonton in game 3 and game 4 is the way I'm going to play these 2 games. That'll be my best bet. But my best bet for tomorrow's NBA Finals game number 2, Pacers team total under in the first quarter. Best bet brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is sign up for a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN will complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. Go to VSiN.com/GBank, and this one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account. In response to this offer, will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Greg Peterson comes your way next with Cashing Out. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir. I'll be back on Live Bet Sunday tomorrow here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.